I am Plante on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Donna Spencer joins me again. The artistic producer of the Firehall Arts Center discusses what they have planned for the fall. They've got their podcast, Dramatic Pause, as well as I Walk the Line, a solo show starring veteran actor Alan Morgan that starts this Thursday, the 15th of October, and running until the 25th. Then, as part of the Heart of the City Festival, in the beginning, runs the 4th through the 7th of November. Then later in November, from the 11th to the 22nd, is a co-production with a search party, The Amaryllis. I'll get Donna to preview these productions and more. We'll also talk about what the arts have been like during the pandemic, as well as the cultural moment of Black Lives Matter. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome back to the Plante Online program, Donna Spencer. Ms. Spencer, good morning.
Hi.
It's been a tough few months for everybody, but especially hit harder the arts, aren't they?
The arts have been, well, hit incredibly. I mean, we're live performing arts in particular, has taken a blow that it's going to take us a long time to recover from. And, of course, when it all happened, most organizations had shows up. And just like Broadway and the West End, we all had to close down and find a way to figure out how we can go forward and with this pandemic going on.
What are some of the conversations that you're having amongst artists, amongst people in the business, say, about when things will get back to normal, if that's the right way to put it?
Yeah, I think just like every other business that was affected by the arts, by the COVID, mm-hmm. The arts are having these discussions about how we need to pivot or how we can change what we do but still be who we are. I mean, in most cases, a lot of the theater companies that were running shows in, 250-seat spaces, now we're all downsizing to 50 seats at the most and being very cautious about how we do that. So I'm not sure if we'll ever get back to what was the normal before, because I think during this time we're also contemplating how we tell our stories and whose stories we tell and how we share this with our audiences and whether we can share it online and live. So I think it's going to have a tremendously positive effect on the arts, but in the meantime we have to get through all the negative of the loss of earned revenue and
right.
and the fear of audiences to come into enclosed spaces.
Talking about pivoting, I understand that the courtyard outside the fire hall there on Cordova, you've used that over the summer, is that correct?
Yeah, we started out when I decided, because I produced the Dancing on the Edge Festival as well, when we decided to do the Dancing on the Edge Festival, which was it to be our 32nd year of doing it,
mm-hmm.
I looked at, okay, how can we stream some of the performances, but how can we also do some live performances? And for the festival, we did 4 performances in the courtyard, and then we also did 1 in the theater, and we limited audiences to under 30, because that was our first test.
Yeah.
About how to physically distance and how to ensure that people could come and go safely.
Right.
And then we went on and did something over the Pride weekend. We called it PPS, meaning Pride Performance Empowers.
Uh-huh.
But, and recently I've been doing music in the courtyard, working with Hard Rubber New Music and Savage Society to do music concerts that people keep going. They come and they go, gosh, this feels almost European.
Yeah.
And they've loved it. I mean, the audiences have been great for those performances, and the artists were fabulous as
uh-huh.
well, because they weren't working. So,
right.
I think that the challenge, of course, is to try to figure out a way to do this so everybody stays safe and in a bubble of safety. I mean, it's a big challenge, but I do think it's important to have people be able to go out and see things and enjoy things, and we just as producers and directors have to be aware that we have to accommodate everybody's safety in everything we do.
Yeah. So audiences have been back inside the fire hall, and I understand there are 3 shows this fall. We'll talk about them in just a sec, but audiences will be limited for those. Is that correct?
Yeah. There'll be the smoke just to pick up on your point of them being back in the theater.
Yeah.
The smoke and the I think we weren't rained out. We might have been rained out once with the music in the courtyard.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But the smoke, when the smoke hit, we moved performances into the theater. And what we did was, because people, of course, had bought a ticket thinking they would be outside, we made sure that everyone knew that this is what we were doing, and offered refunds if people didn't feel comfortable coming into the space. But again, it was limited audiences. We had limited it to 40 in the courtyard. We now can, in the theater, with some moving around the seats and things a bit, we're hoping to have 50 be able to sit in the theater comfortably. Staggered arrival times, different routes to go to the washroom, all of that kind of stuff is what we're doing, a way to isolate the actors so that they're in a creative bubble. So that's all been worked on, and I'm really happy that we were able to test this through the summer. Because there's a lot of added complications, and more cleaning, and you know, things that you wouldn't think you would be doing, but things that you have to do to make sure people stay safe.
What do you want to say to people who might be hesitant to go to the theater?
First of all, I would say that if you really feel uncomfortable about doing this, don't do it. But the other side of it is, if you do want to check or talk to anybody from our team about what safety precautions we've taken, we're happy to do that discussion over the phone. We also have on our website a COVID button that, and on our menu, you can go to it and you can find out what we've done. Fire Hall has also created these little masks that we had made that have a Fire Hall logo on them that you can pick up here that you could use. You can bring your own mask, or we have free masks, like disposable masks, that people show up without a mask. But we're certainly encouraging people, telling people that they have to wear masks when they're in the theater. We have a ventilation system. It is a black box theater, but we do have a ventilation system. And everybody is seated looking forward, so you kind of, as long as you're physically distanced, you're probably as safe here as you would be in the Safeway or on the bus.
Or more so, actually. So the one of the first shows, I guess, for this fall season, I Walk the Line, starring Alan Morgan. That's the 15th through the 25th of October. A lot of people in this town know who Alan Morgan is. For people who might not be familiar, he's a veteran actor in this town, isn't he?
He's a veteran actor. And the first show he ever did here at the Fire Hall was a show called Hosanna, and that was many, many years ago. But yes, he's done Bard on the Beach. He's performed at the Arts Club. He's done shows across Canada. He found, actually, as he was getting older, that there was less work. So he ended up leaving the business, or he said he was leaving the business, and he went to work in an office for the a union, and ended up, after I think he was there maybe only a few days, and they went out on strike. And so it's about his experience walking the line with healthcare workers, what that experience was like, and learning what it is like to be a member of a union, and how unions can either support you or not. And Alan is an amazing storyteller. So I think people should look forward to that, and we're hoping we'll come out to see it.
Indeed. And so it's a one-person show, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it sort of lends itself well for the setting, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's I mean, that's the other thing, of course, the plays that we've picked for the fall, the work that we're doing for the fall, and probably into the new year, well, one of the plays into the new year, but also into the rest of the season will probably be very small casts, because it's difficult to have 12 people on stage and keep them safe and the audience safe. But yes, the topic within this play that he's created is also very timely.
The next production is In the Beginning. That's the 4th to the 7th of November. Would you tell us what that's about?
This is actually more of it's not really a play per se. It's more of a sharing of information and discussion between representatives of the Tsleil-Waututh, the Squamish, the Musqueam, and nations who've come from, or people from nations who've come from across the mountains or down the Fraser River or across the waters, and each night has a specific nation speaking, and they're talking about the catalyst for it is a discussion around what it was like prior to colonization and settling settlers, but it also relates to the different kinds of people who live, indigenous peoples who live and make their home in Vancouver and in the downtown east side in particular. It's part of the Heart of the City Festival. And with that, those discussions, like, on, for example, on one night it'll be Squamish Nation sharing the creation story and sharing stories from their history as of working with during the colonization. There's a whole period of history that's barely recorded in terms of the indigenous peoples from the turn of the century up to now, turn of the 20th century up to where we are now. So it's, like I said, it's more of an information sharing, and tied into that, we're going to be doing some play readings from playwrights of indigenous backgrounds.
This is all part of the cultural moment that we live in, not only because of the pandemic, but Black Lives Matter. And it's also the commitment that the Fire Hall has always had in terms of encouraging and showcasing voices of different backgrounds. I mean, there is a move, I guess, to change the ecology of the arts, and not only in this town, but elsewhere. This is all part of that, isn't it? Just a part of a sort of finding new voices, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also from the Fire Hall's perspective and Vancouver Moving Theatre, who we're working on with this, it's really to share more about how this neighborhood became what this neighborhood is, but also to allow voices, or allow is probably the wrong word, to provide an opportunity for voices that we haven't heard. This piece will, all of the pieces that we're doing will be recorded and streamed, so there will be an opportunity for people who don't come to these discussions, and I think these discussions are going to be really popular, to see it online. We're writing... one of the more positive aspects of COVID is it's allowing people time to reflect and consider, and I think that a lot of that is going on in the arts, stimulated, of course, by Black Lives Matter. But in Canada, not that Black Lives Matter don't matter in Canada, that's not what I mean. In Canada, our Indigenous population has been treated so poorly for so many years, and there are so many exciting young voices, and not just young voices, coming forward in terms of artistic expression that we need to know about.
Yeah. I'm going to get you to say, is it the Amaryllis? Is that how you pronounce it?
I'm not going to say it right. Amaryllis. Amaryllis.
Amaryllis. Amaryllis.
Amaryllis.
Yeah. So that's November the 11th to the 22nd.
Yeah.
That's a co-production with The Search Party, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Mindy Parfit's company? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's a piece about, it's a brother and a sister, there's a fair amount of paranoia within the sister. She doesn't really leave her apartment. It's actually about change. It's about change stimulated by isolation. It's actually very, it sounds like it could be depressing, but it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's also, I think really the key point is that the amaryllis, plants change and people change, and I think the core of the story is about how, over a period of time, this brother and sister relationship changes. And I think what first drew me to it was there was this isolationist kind of feel about it that, and I kind of sometimes think and hope that this isn't what happens, that after COVID is over, that we will be living in bubbles and too afraid to come out of our bubbles to actually intersect with people. And I think that's another reason why I want to do live performance now, is we need it. We need to not be afraid of everybody that we see.
Yeah, yeah, and it one realizes in this time, the last 6 months or so, just what a vital role and I'm speaking as an audience member here, just a vital role that the arts play in one's lives, one's life, I should say, and I guess we knew that, but it had to take a pandemic to make us realize how much we miss it as well when it's not there.
Yeah, I think that's really, really what I kept hearing from the people that were coming to the music concerts. We really need this. Thank you. We really need this. That's what they were saying, and that's what they were emailing. And that's another positive that we could, perhaps, as arts producers, should we survive this, in terms of the economy, should recognize is that it is actually allowing people who attend the arts and who may not have attended the arts understand how much impact we have and how much value we have, because it's the creative industries really do shape how we live.
And in terms of keeping the arts alive, on behalf of you all at the Fire Hall, in terms of surviving, so that it's around for years to come, what can audience members do, whether they go down this fall for a show or want to stay home even?
Well, what I mean, of course, when COVID happened, a lot of the donations, fundraising, and that efforts that all of the arts groups were doing were just, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So audiences can certainly donate. Most arts organizations are charities. Donations are greatly appreciated all the time. And in the, that's one very positive thing. It's a tax donation receipt. The other side of it is that, as I mentioned, we are going to be doing streaming. And to do streaming, that is also an additional cost that we hadn't anticipated.
Right.
So we will be doing live streaming for all of the shows. So there will be an opportunity for people to register for a fee to see what we are doing here and feel as if, you know, we'll encourage them to get themselves a glass of wine or whatever they want to sit and watch what's going on. It's not, we're not making films. That's not the business that we're in. We're going to be doing recordings in as a professional manner as we can of the work that we're doing right here in the black box. And if they've ever been here before, I want them to pretend they're sitting in a seat while they're watching.
Right.
And if they haven't been here before, I hope they'll come see us if they can when things change.
And indeed, so the website, that's an easy place, a practical place for people to make a donation if they wish,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Donna, I wish you all the best for the season ahead, but...
I don't know what we're going to do about people like you. How are we going to get you? Are you going to come? Are you going to come see some of our shows?
I will try to. I mean, the Alan Morgan thing sounds fascinating.
Okay.
I Walk the Line sounds like it's going to be just terrific, so I will try to make it down there.
Well, because I think it's also important for us to have people like yourself who are actually talking about the arts and sharing this information, because we need people to know.
The website for more is at firehallartcenter.ca. The website for more is at firehallartcenter.ca. Donna Spencer joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.